Hey everybody, welcome to That DJ Podcast. This is episode number 2. That's right, number 2. We are still infants, but we're almost walking. It is Friday, April 16th, 2010. I am Ben, your host, and with me is Brandon and Ross. It's Say Michael hello, guys.
Jackson. Hey, how you guys doing today?
Michael Jackson is apparently here as well. That's good.
Hey, this is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. It's nice to meet you.
I am.
Would you stop? today we're going to talk about some cool stuff, and that depends on who you are, if you think it's cool or not. We're going to talk about some different things that are going on in the industry.
Yes.
Some different things with I can't even talk. I just can't get over the fact that Michael Jackson is in the background here.
He's very swollen.
let's just go. Let's just not even... Who cares what we're talking about? Let's just talk about it.
We're talking about a lot of different stuff, guys. There you go.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
All right. Well, okay, we're going to talk about Groovemaker for the iPad. We're going to talk about Virtual DJ winning a software title. We're going to talk about phone parties and people getting killed. We're going to talk about Chevette helping out with Haiti and stuff like that. We're going to talk about some music. We're going to talk about some more software. We're going to talk about how to make your business better through advertising. We're going to talk about file sharing. We're going to give you some feedback that we've gotten, let you know how that's going. And then we're going to have our special guest DJ mix feature for the night. So, without further ado, let's talk about some news. All right, guys. First up, we talked a little bit last time about some apps for the iPhone and the iPod Touch for DJs. Up now, we got the iPad. Just came out last week. You know, it just debuted, and we knew there would be some cool stuff coming out for it. But now Groovemaker, which I think debuted last year sometime for the iPod and the iPhone, is coming out for... They brought that for the iPad. Now, people who... We talked last time, like, do you really think people DJ from their phone or their handheld? The answer was kind of like, eh, maybe if it's convenient. I think people are actually on DJ from their iPad. Like, maybe not pros, but some people who are just looking for a novelty. But
I think even for pros, it might be a good supplement, I mean, to have along with you.
Yeah.
Could generate some loops or something.
Especially with this Groovemaker, it's like, it's basically just loops from what I understand. You know, it helps control loops and stuff like that. So I guess, like, you know, you don't have to buy another piece of equipment if you've got an iPad. You just load it on there, and the big thing I see is that you've only got, like, you've got the one USB, and other than the headphone slot, that's, like, the only output. So it's pretty much the proprietary thing for the iPod or, you know, Apple's thing. But anyway, that's what's up right now. There's a free 120 loop pack with a mix of house and hip-hop music. Or loops, I guess, for that case. And then they've also got other stuff that you can download and probably have to pay for. I don't have a price. I couldn't find a price anywhere, and I don't have an iPad to get on the store.
It's $9.99.
Oh, I just saw it. Thanks.
I think there's two different versions. They have one for the iPhone, too. I don't know if that's both prices or not. Let me check.
Oh, all right.
Keep talking, man.
All right, I'm going to check.
I could see that... being a good feature, because I mean, if you're going out and some DJs like to have those sample kicks with the effects and stuff like that, I mean, that could be a cheap way to replace those expensive ones, because a lot of them are MIDI controlled and work through software, and this is just an easy solution.
Yeah,
just
now. Yeah, if you've already got an iPad, you might as well get it. If you don't, it might be a little expensive to buy one just for that, but I think it's definitely, you know, worth $10 if you've already got an iPad that you're using.
Right.
I just looked it up on the App Store. It looks like it breaks it down into, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 different separate pieces of apps. Huh. There's house, hip hop, club, electro.
Techno, so you can download like a different app for each type.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
cool.
They're all $7.99, $4.99. I mean, it's you'd get ridiculous to buy all this.
Yeah. Is there like one big one you can buy all together?
No.
Oh, good.
That's unfortunate.
Well, but, well, there is my whole reason for buying an iPad.
Yeah, but apparently, well, I mean, if you're an iPad, it looks like it's just you get the whole deal for $9.99.
Oh.
You get drum and bass, hip hop house.
That's cool.
And yeah, that looks about it.
And it's got like 8 tracks on it too, the program, so you can play a good bit. I mean, personally, we just control our samples through our basically through our controller through our software, so we don't have anything extra. But I think, you know, I'd like to get a touchpad, but I think this would be kind of a cool alternative, especially if you've already got the iPad.
And the other thing too is, you're not like some a lot of touchscreens can only do, like, this is multi-touch.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So you can have multiple things going at the same time with, you know, clicking stuff simultaneously, and that can be real useful because it almost makes it look like you actually have a MIDI controller.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And that's one thing Apple offers with the iPad, so that could also be a good feature. So it'd almost just be like having a MIDI controller there.
Yeah, you want to push two at the same time and you're golden.
The only thing is, it's not too feasible if you don't already have it. I mean, what are iPads? $600-$700?
They start at $5 for the cheapest.
Well, just go to a college that offers them to you for free.
Yeah.
What? What college? What?
There's some out there that are starting to do it for like bucks.
I'm dropping out.
You're dropping out.
I got a month left.
I saw that they're expecting a lot of high schools. Yeah. I've got 3 weeks, I think. They're expecting a lot of high schools to start utilizing these and having like all the books on there. That way kids aren't having to take home books every day, hurting their backs or whatever.
That'd be great.
Yeah, their parents aren't getting mad, which I don't really care about them. Screw them, because I'm not in high school anymore.
But this isn't a high school podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. No high schoolers are allowed to listen to this podcast unless they're DJs.
Right.
Yeah.
They're getting iPads for porn.
In school. Okay. All right. I'm just going to not even touch that one. Let's move on. Ross, what do you got?
Virtual DJ won the WMC of 2010. They are the 17th most downloaded software application, according to cbsdownloads.com. I'm going to be talking about that later today in the program. But pretty much it's just won the award for one of the most versatile, personalized DJing software out there. And I'll get more into that later in the program, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, it's definitely a cool program if you put a little bit of time into learning it, but it's pretty much pick it up and go.
I like it.
Right.
Yeah. It's nice
it's
to use.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Unless you're, like, you know, strictly turntable, then it doesn't really work for you much. But
how long ago have you been using virtual, Ross?
Probably about a year now I've been touching with virtual. Now I officially use it for all my songs because it's the virtual DJ is very, very good with databases, with songs, like large databases. And I've never had issues searching songs with it or anything like that. And it's really fast and stable.
Cool.
So
yeah, that's pretty much why we use it, too.
Yeah.
We pull out of iTunes, so playlists.
It's nice to make playlists for iTunes and pull them over.
Right. And it's and the other cool thing too is it pretty much gets all DJs. If you're a club DJ, it has a lot of the beat mixing tools for it and remixing, doing live remixing, and then also for video DJs, it's huge because it supports all the video.
It's definitely true.
So it's just a really powerful software, and in my opinion, with all the video at a decent price. I mean, they charge about $300 for it, but that you get all these plugins, and then you can also get the plugins to personalize it yourself. Make your own screen maps for it. And I think, I mean, they even got it now so that you can make your own sample mixes and post them on virtual, and different effects that people can make and throw it with virtual, and it works. It's very open source and third party, and very reliable too.
Is that the social aspect of it they were talking about in the article?
No, the other thing that, and this is new with Virtual DJ 6, is they're allowing people to simulcast their music in a way over the internet. So people, you can log on through a URL and have a username and password, I believe. And I'm not exactly sure about that.
Yeah, I saw it before.
Yeah. But then you can get on certain networking sites through Virtual DJ and be able to share your music to other DJs live. So if you're sitting there DJing and you're looking for a specific mix, I mean, you can go out and look up and people can have their stuff shared and you can just go and play it. But I'm not sure how that works out with the copyright stuff, though.
Yeah, that can kind of tricky. I don't know.
That can be kind of considered file sharing.
Well, you're not really keeping the file, are you? You're just listening to it, streaming, basically.
I think yeah, you're just streaming.
So it's kind of the same as, like, maybe Pandora or like Lawlaw.com, but I think you have to have a virtual DJ login, so.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
And I can... I'm not sure. I mean, we'd have to check the because it's still they're still working on trying to get it set in stone with all their feeds and stuff.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know how reliable it would be since it's streaming over the internet. I mean, you could have connection loss or other things.
Right.
That happen. So whether or not it's a feasible thing to use while you're DJing live.
Oh yeah.
That could be an issue.
I know you can record everything too, so then you could broadcast it later if you wanted to.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
But that gets a little; those files get a little hefty. So,
yeah. But it's got. I mean, for the video stuff, I mean, I've just been dibble dabbling with the video, and I mean, it has titling text for your music, so that when you're changing songs without having to type any text in, it automatically displays what song is being played.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's also something with album art that it'll try and take album art out of the database and display it on a screen, and just a lot of different effects. And then you can also do live webcams, and then along with the music videos. But a lot of cool stuff that Virtual DJ offers, and it's very powerful, and it almost works on any computer, too. It doesn't take a whole lot to run the program, and it's very stable. So,
cool.
Very cool. Let's give a round of applause.
All right, yes. Clap, clap.
Good job.
Clap.
Good job, guys.
Good job, Virtual DJ.
I would like to talk to you guys about... foam parties.
No, you're not allowed.
I'm going to. All
right, go.
Because it's on the outline. Anyways, this isn't really like late breaking news, but I visit a lot of forums now. DJforums.com, DJchat.com. And I've been hearing a lot of talk about these foam parties. I got kind of interested in them. Looking at them and trying to figure out, people are really interested in, is it really feasible? Is it worth doing? Do people actually like doing it? But once you get into it, it's like people are getting severely injured out of this stuff.
Out of foam.
Really dumb stuff, even. If I get I need to find a thing.
You need to find a thing?
Yeah.
I know you were telling me the other day, like, you said somebody tried to jump into the foam head first, broke yeah. their neck. And that's just like, it's sad to hear, but
it's really. Like,
seriously? Did you really think you could
like
do that?
Like, they think that the foam supports them. Tried to leave a dance floor covered with several feet of party foam. Because of the slippery foam adhering to his shoes in the floor, he fell and hit his head on a metal bar.
Ouch.
Placed at the edge of the dance floor.
So, like, and then it's a slipping hazard, too.
Amnesia occurred. It's like, but...
Imagine,
yeah, sure.
No, wait, hold on. Imagine if you woke up and you had no idea where you were and you were covered in foam. I mean, it's kind of scary a little bit, but that'd just be crazy.
But I'm sure the insurance risks on these things are insane. I'm sure you got to pay out the A for them.
Yeah.
Ranks up there with sumo suits.
Those things are insane.
Extremely dangerous.
The nurse where I work at a college... She was in one of those things, and she fell and hurt her head. And I was like, you of all people should know not to get in one of those things. She got a concussion from it.
Well, don't take her to a foam party.
Yeah, I guess not.
But, yeah, that's really interesting, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Next, Chauvet. You guys know the company Chauvet, Chauvet. I think that's how you say it anyway.
Yes.
We use some of their equipment, and I know Ross does too, but they are currently... And this has been going on for a little while now, but you guys remember that whole thing with Haiti, you know, where there was a big disaster and a lot of people died, unfortunately, and the rest of them pretty much are left homeless. Well, a lot of people seem to have forgotten about it, but Chauvet really wants to still help out, and they know that, you know, long after all these people forget about it, there's still people who are hurting and everything. So basically what they're doing is they're they're helping with donations and everything. They're matching up to, I think, $10,000 worth of donations. So if you donate to that organization, which I think, foodfortheporg.org/Chevette, they are, if you donate through there, they'll match your donation. And basically, they're helping build houses, get new water supply and stuff like that. They're even going as far as to, for like the fishing villages, getting them boats and motors and sheds and stuff like that so that they can work for their own food, you know, so that they're not just getting handouts, they can learn how to function again. So, like, it gives them another meaning, you know. So they're building houses and everything.
I guess they plan to raise $52,000 in 4 months to build 20 homes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the two owners are actually from that area, so that's probably why they're so set on helping those guys out.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess, I mean, Food for the Poor is the organization that's coming from, but Chevette has a specialty, like, so if you're gonna, if you guys feel led to donate or anything, like you feel like you want to, and you know that you can do it through a company that maybe you like, if you like Chevette, if you go to foodforthepoor.org, make sure you put in the /Chevette. That way, like, they'll help donate, and then you also kind of help them out doing the good things that they're trying to do. So, I guess that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess it's a good cause. Exactly. So.
Yeah, there's people who need help, even though you and even us have forgotten about it since then. It's been a couple months, and you just kind of slips out of your head because it's not on the news every single day anymore. But yeah, help out if you can. I'm sure they'd appreciate $10.
I'm sure they would.
So let's go. I don't know where we're going.
Warning. Unauthorized use of it. Music.
This is Direct Input. That's right, the segment you've all been waiting for. Direct Input. Okay, probably not, but the music segment. Hey, before we go on, though, I just wanted to remember, some people may not have heard our first podcast, and this might be your first time listening. Now, you can always go back and listen to it. You can download it through any of the sources, I'm sure, but we are just a couple of DJs. We're all mobile DJs, but we love all sorts of music and DJing. Brandon and I own and operate a company called Valongo Live. And Ross owns and operates a company with his brothers called Silver Hat Productions. So that's who we are. We've been on, between the three of us, we've got close to 20 or a little over 20 years of experience between us all, added up, not each. So we're experienced, but we still know we have a lot to learn. So that's who we are.
Yeah, and I guess on the stuff we don't know everything, of course, but if you guys... we really want you guys to send us advice, any stories, tips you may have. We really, like I said on the last podcast, we don't want to be the only voice of this podcast. We want you guys to write in. Email us. We have Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. We just got a new MySpace page, so go check that out. But, yeah, the more help from you guys we can get, we would love it. We want to hear you guys' feedback.
Absolutely.
What's that email address again, Ben?
The email address thatdjpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, what's the website then?
Oh, the website would be thatdjpodcast.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. But check it out. And then search for us on Facebook, and then we'll...
Facebook.
And you can be a fan. Even if you aren't a fan, you should join it.
Yeah.
That way you might become a fan in the future.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on from all that silliness and self-promotion that we don't have any problem doing, and talk about some music. Now, I just talked to the people of you who haven't been here last time, and Brandon's going to kill me, but I'm going to talk about a couple things and wrap them up that we did talk about last time. Okay, so I mentioned last time the Eminem, which, you know, some people like Eminem, some people hate him, but people request him, and sometimes you can mix them in good. Was going to do like the second part of his Relapse album. He has canned that and just said he's going to do an album called Recovery. So, who cares, right? Okay. But I just wanted to follow up on that since we mentioned it last time.
Train wreck.
That's where that's going. So, we'll see if that's any good or not.
Good luck, Eminem.
Good luck,
My
Eminem.
My hat's off to you.
Yeah, whatever. I thought you retired three times, but hey, have at it.
He's coming back.
Second thing is...
Don't call it a comeback.
Sorry. I really hate the fact that I'm going to mention this, but Justin Bieber, I predicted his fall from the top of the charts, and I was correct, and now he's back. And
what?
Just so you know, he's back on top. He's back at number one.
You promised me he would not be.
I know. But if anyone is needs any consolation, just know that one of the trending topics on Twitter, which rules all of our lives, has been Justin Bieber sucks. So if you have any desire to hate Justin Bieber or love him, you know, or love him if you are like that, go to Twitter. Check him out.
Hey, there's a lot of people
Lot of people on there who... are either, it's like Justin Bieber wars right now, like crazy. So it's kind of funny. So who cares about that? I was just wrapping up on it.
Please.
The next thing.
Wrap up fast.
The next thing. If I don't know if you guys are familiar with Elite Force Music.
No.
But,
tell me more.
Well, I don't know a whole lot more. I just know Elite Force Music puts out good music. And if you go to EliteForceMusic.com, EliteForceMusic.com.
How do you spell that?
Elite Force Music. That's how you spell it.
What's that website? what's their email address?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
They've got a new song on there. It's kind of cool. It's called Control the Engine. It's a mashup of some songs by Elite Force and The Gossip. At least that's my understanding. So it's Elite Force versus The Gossip. And it's a free download. I think we're going to play a clip here, but if you like it or don't like it either way, you can at least maybe get some samples out of it or some loops. So here's a couple seconds of it. So that's the beginning of Control the Engine by Elite Force versus The Gossip. Like I said, it's a mashup, just to whet your appetite a little bit, maybe. I listened to the whole thing a couple different times. It's only about 6 minutes long, so yeah, check it out. It's a free download. I mean, why not? What do you got to lose? You got to enter your email address, but then you could just unsubscribe if you don't like it afterwards. They're not going to spam you, I don't think. But again, that's EliteForceMusic.com. Like I said, you can probably get some samples out of it or something, but... It's definitely, it's got some cool parts in it. It comes into some vocals at one point, but I just thought I would throw that out there. You don't run across a whole lot, at least I don't run across a whole lot of quality free downloads. So, not quality free, quality downloads that are free. And the place I found out about that actually was a place called DJElroy.com. He messaged us and said he wanted to help promote us if we help promote him, kind of. So I found out about that on there. He's actually got this thing. It's kind of like a podcast. It's called The Digital Dance Floor. And he puts together like an hour at a time of, like, I guess, house and trance and kind of techno, all genres of music, puts it together and kind of lets it stream together. So I think it's normally got 15 to 20 songs. He's got 9 episodes of it right now.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, it's like, it's called Digital Dance Floor by DJ Elroy. So that's DJElroy.com, ELROY, like the Jetsons, Elroy, with the sun.
What?
Yeah, remember the Jetsons?
Yes.
His boy Elroy. Yeah, like that, I think. I don't know if that's his real name or not, but.
Yeah, it's Elroy.
Yeah, I love Elroy. I love that Jetsons. I think I can't wait till they come out with food like that, where like your robot will make food for you. And then you just eat it.
I thought you were going to say a movie, and I was like, they can't make a Jetsons movie.
They did make a Jetsons movie.
What?
Yeah. Back when I was a little kid, they made a Jetsons movie.
Live
it was
action?
All about... No, it wasn't live action.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
Well, it was still a movie.
Ben.
It was amazing.
It was... Yeah, they were like working in the factory, and then George got fired.
Guys, let's make a live action Jetsons movie.
That's not going to happen.
I can be the dog.
What's the name?
I'm going to be that... robot with the Maxwell Coffee House can on her head.
Yeah. Oh. Rosie.
She's Rosie, hot. Yeah.
She was not hot.
All right.
She was a robot.
The wife was hot, I think.
Yeah.
Her voice was sounding hot.
Hot. Anyway, so check out djelroy.com. He's got some really cool news on there. He's usually good with you know, techno and trance type music, and he knows what's going on, and posts a lot of different mixes on there. A lot of it's live. He just, you know, came back from some music conferences that you may be familiar with. So check it out.
Check him out.
The next thing I'm going to talk about is a remix contest.
Go on.
Book a Shade. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but I've never actually heard it pronounced. But they are a band, sort of. They're DJs. And they have a couple LPs and EPs and stuff like that. And they're doing a remix contest. So if any of you are familiar with Beatport, which I know a lot of people use SoundCloud and Beatport and stuff like that, you can go on to Beatport, look up Book of Shades Regenerate is the name of it. It's B-O-O-K-A Shade, S-H-A-D-E. They've got this song called Regenerate. They want you to remix it and then upload it to Beatportal. And I'm sure the rules are listed there. But basically, there's going to be two categories of winners. 10 are user voted, and 10 are the editor's favorites. And then from those 20, they're basically going to pick their favorite one. And then you'll get $200 for Beatport and a pair of really, really sick headphones. So if you guys are into remixing and you want something to try and, like, you know, yeah, you might have it posted up there, but you don't get a lot of maybe action from it. This will give you a good venue because people are going to be uploading their stuff, and everybody's going to be listening to try and see what they're competing against. So it started a couple days ago, April 13th, and I'm not really sure when it ends. I didn't see an ending date, but you could check out the full rules and prizes on Beatportal, and we're going to put up a link on our site and then the show notes for it. So make sure to check it out if you guys are remixers. So, that's it for the music, unless you guys got something else.
Let's talk about Justin Bieber some more.
Bieber sucks. That's the trending topic. Of course, I would never say that.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. What does Michael Jackson think? I don't know. Well, let me ask him. Michael Jackson, what do you think about Justin Bieber?
My mind doesn't run that way.
Oh, okay. Well, that's helpful to know. I appreciate that.
I'm in pain all the time.
When he listens to Justin Bieber?
That's happened many times.
Oh, wow. That's too bad.
Not for sex.
let's just move on to the next segment.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go! Hit it!
All right, this is the equipment end of the podcast for today. Today I'm going to continue talking about Virtual DJ, and I'm going to talk about one of its competitors, PC DJ.
All right.
Yeah, as you know, Virtual DJ, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, won the WMC award for being one of the best DJ softwares out there on the market right now. But in my opinion, one of the biggest competitors right now that faces Virtual DJ is PC DJ. I was just doing some quick research real quick, and PC DJ has a couple different versions of their software that they offer. They got PC DJ Red, which is one of their basic softwares. They have PC DJ Dex, and then they also have PC DJ Reflex. PC DJ Dex, I believe, is one of their most popular softwares out on the market right now. And I was just doing some quick research here, and they have different packages for it. And one of them happens to be the karaoke pad. So it has a pack. So it has karaoke built into, or karaoke plugins built into PC DJ Dex. So
you could sing Justin Bieber karaoke.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, he probably has his own karaoke thing.
That's true. Know. Okay.
He has
sorry.
A screen.
I'm sorry.
Teleprompter. anyway. Anyway, though, that's one of the things that I've found that PC DJ offers, and but I imagine you can do that with virtual as well, because if you have the DVD and the video, you can just display the video on a screen.
Have you ever done karaoke?
If you wanna, I'm sorry?
Have you ever done karaoke, like, while you're DJing?
No, I haven't. Actually, there was one time I did a birthday party and someone provided a karaoke machine.
Oh, okay.
And it works out good. But then I think there's just certain applications for it too.
Right.
I'd like to get into it with us at least.
Sometimes
it seems like we get a lot of calls for it actually. I was kind of actually surprised once we started how many actually people want karaoke.
I hate karaoke.
Right. I do too. I always find that, especially go to a bar, someone hogs the mic and they're like, you know, someone like Justin Bailey sitting there hogging the mic all night. But that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But the one problem, and this is talking from personal experience, I had when I first bought my MIDI controller, PC DJ Reflex came with it. And it only allowed me to load 30,000 songs before it crapped out on me with the database. And that just doesn't work. And I found that the setup was just horrible, and it didn't display what I wanted to see. And PC DJ DAX has a little bit better of a GUI display than Reflex, but I'm not sure how their library stands up. That's the one thing I like about Virtual is the libraries for all the databases it saves it to the actual drive. So when you plug a different drive in, it changes what database it uses because it saves the database on that specific drive. And the library, the search engine for the entire thing is just a lot better than PC DJ, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is nice.
I don't know if you said, have you used PC DJ?
Yes, that's what I use.
Okay.
That's what I use. And I love it.
You use PC DJ?
So do you use PC DJ? You guys use PC DJ.
No, we use Virtual DJ.
Oh, Virtual. Oh. Did I say PC DJ?
Yeah.
I apologize. No, I use Virtual DJ.
That's what I said.
But you had to use PC DJ in the past.
Yeah, I never used it for a gig.
Really?
Just because it did not handle, it couldn't handle the song databases that I had.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So I just kind of scrapped it and went to Virtual.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of people out there who don't even like DJ software. They just straight up, you know, mix with tables and I don't know. I guess that's a matter of preference. But if you're gonna use,
once you have as many songs as we do,
it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Right.
We couldn't do
it. Yeah, I mean, if you're a club DJ and you're staying in one spot all the time, I mean, that's one thing. But mobile DJs, I mean, you have to carry around all your CDs and everything else. I mean, it can get to take up a lot of space, and those things get quite heavy as well.
Yeah. For sure. What's your favorite feature about Virtual?
The fact that it has that third-party feature, it has a third party feel, so you can kind of design anything you want with it. And I mean, once you buy Virtual DJ, you have all access to all the forums, all the plugins and everything else like that. So I mean, if you get the coding for Virtual DJ, you can go and create your own skins, add video effects to it and do different stuff like that. In Virtual, you can just upload and people can go and download it, and you can make revisions of all that stuff. So it has that very open source feel to it, which I think for DJs is really cool because it's easier to personalize. I'm not sure if PJ DJ does it or not, but it just seemed like they don't, you know, open their software up for people to go and change. Everything's kind of hard, so you can't change anything.
Even the fact that they let you download samples, I think, is a big plus in there.
Oh, yeah. That is huge. And I mean, if you go on there and look at stuff, I mean, there's pages upon pages of different samples people made that you can use for remixing and stuff like that.
The only thing I will say is that, at least in my experience, a lot of them, when you download them, they don't work.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's my computer.
It's hard to find the good stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no search for it either. That's kind of a crappy part. But the actual software itself, yeah, you're definitely right. It's very easy to use. What did you use first? Did you use Virtual first or PC DJ first?
PC DJ because it came with my MIDI controller. My Denon MIDI controller, it came with it.
Yeah, so you weren't partial to something before you tried out PC DJ.
Correct.
See, I tried out, before I think I ever even got Virtual DJ, I tried out PC DJ, and I just couldn't even figure out how to use it. I don't know if I'm just stupid or what, but it just wasn't user-friendly. And then when I got Virtual, you know, I think actually you helped me, and it didn't take hardly long at all to learn the ropes really quick. So it's kind of interesting that we both tried PC DJ first and still went with virtual.
Right. And I know another DJ that he downloaded the free trial of PC DJ Dex, and he had a lot of issues with databases because every time if he backspaced too far, and I don't know if it was just an error on his part or what happened, but it would completely reset the database, and you had to reload the database back into the software.
About a day and a half long.
So you'd be in there middle of DJing, and then all of a sudden, like if you backspace too far, it would exit out, and then you have to reload the database back in.
Wow.
And that was a huge pain.
Yeah.
But, I mean, once you scan Virtual DJ, I mean, the only thing you have to do when you first get the software is scan the hard drive that you have all your music on, and then it's always there.
Yeah.
Unless you go and change it, then you have to rescan. But
it takes a little while sometimes, but it's there.
Yeah, but once it's done, it's done.
Right.
And so.
Especially even scanning for like BPMs and tags and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of things take forever. We had it one time where our database got completely messed up. I don't know what it was, but we restarted it afterwards and it worked fine. But
yeah,
some
it came
little
back,
quirks that it has. But
like when we went through, I think we scanned it for BPMs and something, so it put all the BPMs in there. And then one time we opened it up, and none of our tags were correct. None of our BPMs were intact or anything. So we did our best to play a couple songs because we were used to searching or whatever for certain things, and
right.
We knew what we wanted to play. So then we went back afterwards and restarted it. Like after we played enough of a song, somebody needed to make an announcement. We hurried up and restarted everything, and it was fine. So sometimes there's a couple hangups that I've had, and occasionally it's cantankerous if you try and attach it to something before, like you know, the MIDI controller or whatever beforehand. But for the most part, it's perfect.
Yeah, and I've had those issues too. I've had issues with because Virtual DJ, if there's any computer guys out there, it saves all your stuff in an XML file, and I think sometimes that file gets corrupted.
Yeah,
and it has problems reloading that back in. But I've been using it for a while now, and I haven't had too many issues with it. I've always had two laptops though, so if one goes down, the virtual kind of crashes on me, I'll be able to go to the other one.
Right.
But that's the one thing I really like about it too, is if it does find itself getting ready to go in a crash mode, it kind of freezes itself. I don't know if this happened to you, but if you're in the middle of playing a song, it'll continue playing the song and the program won't let you do anything else because I think it had a hiccup in itself with this, and it happens sometimes with the search. It doesn't happen often.
Yeah, it like knows it's going to crash, so it won't let you do anything to mess it up.
Right, right. But it'll continue playing the song so that you can hurry up and find a different alternative to get music played.
Yeah.
I know for some DJs this is really, really bad, but I mean,
is that the
I mean,
you're
well,
screwed
for all.
Feature?
Yeah. that's the screw but, you feature, totally.
Yeah. So,
just play longer songs. You'll be fine.
Exactly. 15-minute songs.
Yeah.
We're done. So,
cool. Anything else on those two topics? On those two pieces of software?
The only other thing I can think of is the, and I don't know if Virtual DJ does this or not. At least I haven't been able to find the feature that has it. But sometimes I know PC DJ Red does this. Is when you're playing your songs, it'll record a playlist of all the songs you've played. So
that's really nice.
If you're going. Yeah, so if you're going back and you're at another event and you're like, man, what did I play at that one party I played at last week? You can go back in your playlist and it'll save all those files there and show what songs you've played.
That's really nice.
I wish Virtual did that.
I'm not sure if Virtual offers that, though.
I've tried. I can't find any feature like that to do it.
Yeah,
you just make me do it.
Yeah, I just make Brandon
write
stuff
down
if he can. That works too, but then it doesn't matter because he forgets it at home anyway. So,
you didn't.
But that's the only feature. The only other thing with Virtual for a pro is if you're beat mixing a lot, Virtual DJ actually visualizes the beats on the screen, so that you can sync your songs up a little bit better without hitting the sync button. You can also for your DJs, I mean, you can listen to the actual beats coming and match it up that way. And then it also gives you the visual effect as well.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
So we're all voting for Virtual?
I vote for Virtual still.
I vote for Virtual still.
Until I find
just because
else.
I have it.
All right, Virtual, put the money
Virtual
in the envelope in the mailbox.
Yeah. We'll be expecting a check. You can send three if you like, so we don't have to separate it later.
We didn't get our other ones last week, so.
No.
I wouldn't plan on it.
I think it'd still be coming. It takes a while for shipping and processing and stuff like that.
I don't trust Christina Aguilera.
Christina Aguilera.
Well,
iTunes. Apple. We pump them a lot. We pumped them again tonight. I mean, they're probably going to.
Well, maybe.
I'll screw it.
Whatever.
Let's go.
Business advice. Yo, yo, yo. What's up, guys? This is Brandon.
Hi, Brandon.
I'm back.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Since we last talked, about 30 seconds ago.
Say what? Anyways, today, I talked to you guys last week about some documents. You know, some stuff that you should probably know when you're starting a business. Today, I want to focus on how you get your name out to people. I think that is probably the second most important thing once you're starting. You want to start getting a base of clients. So it's important to start advertising. And I visit, like I said before, a lot of forums. So I've been hearing a lot of grumblings about people just starting to do it. I've actually heard quite a few people that said they're getting back into DJing. I don't know if it's the economy is getting better now or something. People think that they can start that up again. But a lot of people talking about what's the best way to get your name out to potential clients. I'll go through short ways. Some work better than others, maybe some do's and don'ts for each, and hopefully you guys can get some business out of this. First off, it's really important for you guys to have business cards. I know we have business cards. Ross, do you have business cards?
I do.
What?
And I always find myself running out, which is problematic a lot most of the time.
Yeah, but that's a good problem.
Because people keep asking me.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about
it's
that.
It's really bad. They are very important. I can't even count how many times I have had people come up and ask for business cards. And especially when I first started out, I didn't have them. And kind of people looked at me like, what do you mean you don't have business cards?
Yeah, it's something, I guess, where it shows professionalism.
What a noob.
Right.
Noob. It's great networking. If you walk up to people that's, hey, we're going to have a party, we need a DJ, say, here's my business card. Or walk up to bars, go up to campgrounds, visit random strangers, maybe. Just
Justin Bieber.
Pull cards out of your wallet and give it. It's good for them to have something physical to hold on to. I know we've done in the past where we've called these places, but it normally never works out because they don't have something in their hand to look at when they're saying, hey, we need a DJ. So it's nice to give them something physical to put in their hand.
Plus, sometimes they'll have those drawings at bars or something where you put your business card in the big fish tank.
Yeah.
You could just throw like a couple of years in there and maybe you'll win something.
I tried that before and it didn't work.
Yeah,
I saw one at Long John Silver's and I thought about it, but whatever. Just include things like your name, your website, if you got one, which I'll get to later. Phone number, fax, address, which good luck if you have one of those.
If you have a fax.
I know Vistaprints, I've heard a lot about. We didn't go with them, but we might in the future because the people we work with now aren't too reliable. But the latest prices I saw were $250 for around $6.
They're, I've ordered those before for a different organization. And they're not bad if you're willing to go with one of their like pre-designed templates.
Yeah,
you got to pay more to get one of the other ones. But the $5.99, they say they're free, but they're $5.99 shipping. So I mean, you're paying $5.99 for 250 business cards. The only thing about them is that on the back of them it says business cards are free at Vistaprint.com. So like, you know, it's not a bad deal if you're only paying $6. You let them advertise on the back of your card and be okay with a pre-made format. You just got to plug in your information.
I know. I looked at it before. I know there is a way to have just custom. It's a little more expensive. It might be $20 instead of $5.
$20 or $25 plus shipping then.
So, I mean, you can just have a completely custom if you have a web designer, if you want to do it yourself. But, yeah, get some business cards, guys, especially if you're starting out. Next is websites. This isn't, well, it is important.
If you want to look legitimate,
yeah,
it can be really important.
I mean, it's not as important as business cards because maybe places like this were in a real rural place, people don't think to go to the web to look for a DJ right away. Or maybe they do. Maybe they go to the Google, type it in, you know. We've had a lot of visits from Google, actually, so... It's not a cheap way to advertise. You're looking at... if you register your domain, which is www.thatdjpodcast.com, we registered for $10 a year, which ain't too bad. Mainly GoDaddy. There's a bunch of different places, but we use GoDaddy. Good or bad, I don't really know. Whatever. And hosting is about $7 to $15 a month, which might not be that bad for you. Or there are also free alternatives like Google Sites and... if you want to have a blog, WordPress.com. I know we use Google Sites, and it's actually extremely reliable. It's not as, it's not as customizable as I'd like it to be, whether you just do it your own in Front Page or Dreamweaver, like I've done in the past, but it's a real nice way to get set up and started quickly, and it's free, so I mean...
Nice thing about Google Sites is that, like with Dreamweaver and stuff, you're having to transport these files, like... You know, if Brandon and I both want to work on it, or if one of us knows this is a misspelling or something, with Google Sites, you just log into Google, you click on the site name, and you can edit it right there on the web from wherever you are. With other stuff, you got to kind of upload it. So it's got its pros and cons, but if you're looking for versatility, if you're looking to update on the fly, Google Sites is the way to go, and then you could just kind of direct it. Wait, what's our DJ name website? Just throwing that out there.
Oh, I
can't remember.
VolongoLive.com?
Yeah, VolongoLive. I think that's how it's spelled. Yeah, VolongoLive.com.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, that's just if you want to see an example of what Google Sites can do.
You can even check out what we do. I may go into this stuff a little more in-depth later on at a different show, but I just want to give you guys just a general basic outline. Hey, Ross, how's your website coming?
It's coming. I haven't had time to mess with it too much lately.
It's like you're busy.
I know. I need to hire someone to do all that stuff.
Hire your brother.
Can't write.
How much can you pay?
I don't know. How much are business cards? $6? You do that for $6?
All right, so you guys hear that. If anybody out there wants to help Ross build his website for cheap or free just because you're a nice guy and you're good at it, email us.
Come on, guys. It's lower than minimum wage.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
You can't beat that. That's really under the table.
Ross, if somebody built your website for you, would you give them a free spot on there to advertise?
Yeah, I think I could do that.
Yeah. So if you can build his website for free, you can advertise on his site for free. As long as it's not explicit.
If you wanted to do that, where would you email somebody that kind of information?
I'm thinking you might email them at thatdjpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh. Is there a website that goes along with that?
Yeah, it's thatdjpodcast.com.
Oh, God.
Oh, just making sure you guys...
I am so confused.
Ross, you're getting a free website out of this.
Excellent.
Probably not.
And just to add to Google site stuff, I mean, their templates are pretty decent looking too. I mean, there's so many different ones out there. And then I believe you can also design your own template, right?
Not with Google Sites.
No.
I
thought there was a...
At least I don't think so. I mean, I've looked through it, but yeah, they do have some good themes. Like WordPress.com, they have a lot of good themes too. Stuff like Blogger, I looked at there for like our website for the podcast, and it's not nearly as robust. I don't know why. Google owns them. They should really put some money into Blogger. But WordPress is a great... WordPress.com. WordPress.org is you got to host it yourself, but WordPress.com is a free alternative. And real quickly, I'll go into social networks. I'm sure all of you have Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, anyone of the kind, but... they haven't really worked out too well for us. It's kind of weird. You'd think it would be, but I guess the demographic is a little younger. They're not going to be the ones to hire you. So many of the people that have the cash aren't really going to look at your website. So, I mean, we have all of them just in case. It's a good way to spread word of mouth, I guess.
Sometimes we just totally add people we've never even seen, but they might live near us so that... if they ever need a DJ, they'll remember. Wasn't there that DJ that added me on whatever?
Yeah.
So that's probably not the right way to do it, but
it's a good way to push information out to fans. If you have a show coming up that people can go to, it's a good way to let them know. Or if you're offering any discounts, it's a good way to get people maybe to generate some business.
With you guys who are club DJs, it's probably way more effective than it would be for mobile DJs, because you've got a following a lot of times.
Yeah.
You've got people who will follow you to club and see you. So that may be something, if you don't have it already, which I'm sure a lot of you do, you might want to look into.
Yeah, and just know that it's important to know that you're not going to want to bank on these. You're going to want a website that's your own, and business cards, all that kind of stuff. Don't bank on just going alone with social networks. So that's pretty much all I got. I mean, word of mouth, you guys know that's important. You can generate that stuff with business cards, handing them out to people, putting up flyers or something. And the better you are, the more business you're going to get, the more happy your clients, your past clients are. They're going to pass your word on. So the best advertising is your word of mouth. So keep that in mind, guys. Keep doing great things so people will love you, and you will definitely get some more business out of that. You guys have anything else?
I don't think so.
That's about it. You covered it all.
Sounds great. I may go into a little more detail, maybe even a little more in some later podcasts if you guys want to listen to it, but go ahead and email us at that thing that you've been hearing several times.
I think it's thatdjpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. Let me know what you guys think.
Sweet.
That feels really powerful.
Oh man, I love that one. It's my
old
favorite.
Classic.
No, it's actually not my favorite.
Yeah, we got to change that one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just something to preoccupy you.
That was the last one. We've actually changed a lot of our bumpers. I don't know if you've heard, but...
Yeah, since...
We got another one coming up, but... yeah.
Well, this is called the special segment. That's the official name, the special segment.
The special
it's something we might not have every podcast, but there was an issue that I just was thinking about, and I was like, hey, why don't we talk about it? Maybe we'll get some feedback from it.
Let's chat.
We're going to talk about file sharing.
File sharing?
File sharing. I'm talking like peer-to-peer, you know, whatever you guys might use, whether it's torrent or whatever the case may be. But I'm not going to talk mainly about like what most people consider illegal file sharing, because there are a lot of people who dispute whether it's illegal or not. So we're not even going to debate that topic right now. It's not kind of, it's hard to figure. But I'm talking about people who like, I know a lot of DJs or artists or bands, whatever the case is, they'll put their mixes up, they'll put their albums or just a couple songs up if they're not signed to a label, just as a way to get them out. I mean, so these are people who wrote the songs trying to get them out. But the problem I'm seeing a lot of times is the people who are file sharing, it seems like, you know, ISPs are starting to restrict that type of bandwidth that's going through. If you're using peer-to-peer, you're getting restricted bandwidth. People are cracking down on them. So, yeah, a lot of the people who are using torrents are probably not using it for solely clearly defined legal means. But I just think that like it's something to at least think about when these people who are, you know, these non-copyrighted songs are putting them up for people to hear, and then it's getting like hampered by other people. I don't know if there's a solution for it, but I don't know if you guys have anything to say. I just wanted to bring it up because I saw a DJ complaining that he tried to put his stuff up, but nobody would download it because they thought it was illegal because it was file sharing. You know, it's
I do the exact same thing. I mean, we get some mixes in for our featured artists, and even that kind of stuff, I'm real sketchy on clicking it. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff, and I actually do it regardless, but because I have to listen to it. But it is something where you got to think twice of. But it's kind of unfortunate.
And even like I know. In the video business, too, they have a lot of royalty-free music websites that you have stuff that they're not copyrighted or anything like that.
Or the copyrights
run out. Because a
lot of people
use for videos and different things like that. So, I mean, I don't know how that affects the video business, because I know a lot of people for their videos they go for the the royalty free stuff, because it's really cheap and it can get very expensive to go out and purchase the rights to have a music and videos and stuff.
Right. And the one thing, and we'll move off this, it's not a really topic we're going to expand real big, is I did see a band that was, they were signed to a label, but they were saying that most of the people they go to, especially when they go to like other countries where maybe these albums aren't just readily available, they've got these kids who come up to them after shows and are like, hey, I downloaded all your music. Well, I think bands make a lot more money off of their tours than they do off their albums, because what are they going to get? Like, if there's four guys in the band, they might get a quarter apiece for each album sold, maybe, if they're lucky. So,
well, doesn't the record label get that?
The record, basically, like the record label loans you money to make your album, and then you got to basically pay it back. But I know that bands and promoters typically get more money off of albums or off of tours than they do off albums. So, I guess in a way, you could say that, depending on the band, file sharing is actually helping them in a case to get their music out. But, you know, I guess we can save the debate of the legality for another day. I was just mainly talking about people who put their stuff out for free, wanting people to get it out, and then, you know, everything's getting so restricted and so sketchy right now that it's hard to really discuss. So, just so you guys know, we're not pushing one way or another for file sharing. It was just a discussion. So,
do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. We're not going to tell on you.
Don't listen to us. Don't listen. What does Ben know?
I don't know anything.
That's true.
But here's what you guys know. We're going to listen to you now.
Feedback segment time.
We got one.
We got some feedback from you guys. That was apparently funny to Michael Jackson.
I can't quite say.
So, Brandon, why don't you talk about this? We got a question. How do you start a DJ podcast? Now, of course, we're not going to answer it because then we would have competition. But if we were going to answer it, how would we answer
Well, this guy, DJ Havoc from DJForums.com, he was nice enough to write into me and asked, I noticed you're setting up a podcast. I'm thinking about doing the same thing. How do you go about setting up a podcast? I'm completely new to the whole idea after listening to Trance Around the World. I've become completely interested in setting up my own mix podcast where I play my productions or favorite tracks of the week, month, then feature a guest mix at the end. This kind of stuff I've seen, I think that's 98% of what DJ podcasts
absolutely
are. I mean, there's probably only two or three, not even, that I can think of that do the kind of stuff we do, but actual talking. But yeah, I have been through a whirlwind of fun trying to get this podcast up initially. It's definitely a lot more difficult, much more time intensive than I originally had anticipated. Basically, you want to, it depends if you're just doing a mix or if you want to do announcing. Kind of the advice I gave him, if he's, it's real simple if you just put up your mix. I mean, throw it up, put it up on iTunes. All you have to do is run a host or run a blog, throw it into Feedburner, and then iTunes pulls off it. But kind of the stuff we do if we want to announce different artists, maybe talk about some stuff in between your podcasts, get some nice quality mics, USB mics. We use, we actually run into a mixer and then run that back into our PC and record it off Audacity. But what do you think about our setup?
I think our setup is sick. And actually, Brandon and I live fairly close to each other, so we are able to get together. But Ross is an hour away, and we got him Skyped in. So what's your setup look like over on your ends?
I have a wireless mic because I have no other mic. It's a Sennheiser mic, and then I have it run in through directly into the microphone port on the laptop, and then I just have headphones. So mine setup is pretty easy, and it's all just setting up Skype. But it works out, except sometimes there's internet lag.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not much you can do about that, but it hasn't failed us too much yet.
I'd say mostly so. For you guys, the DJs, not you guys. Find a nice quality USB mic if you're going to make announcements. Have a PC, of course. to plug into. Audacity is free. I had heard about another one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But, yeah, just record. You can throw your mixes into Audacity right away. After you can, in post-production, record yourself and throw your track over top of it or right after it. Introduce your song, introduce other DJs if you want to add some other mixes. Then you want to export it as an MP3. I'm probably going to get really technical, guys, because this has been in my mind for like the last week. And you want to make sure, in order to get people to actually find your mix, especially in iTunes, it's really important to have ID3 tags, which is basically if you, anytime, I don't know if you guys subscribe to podcasts. Of course you do. You're listening to our podcast right now. Anyways, if you open up podcasts, you see the title, the episode number, who made it, the names of the artists, that kind of stuff. That's really what the ID3 tags is. That includes album artwork and that kind of stuff. So it's really important to have that. People searching in Google can find it. I don't know if the ID3 tags go into Google.
I don't know either.
But I know iTunes pulls off your ID3 tag information. So fill that out as much as you can. Make it descriptive as possible for people to know what it is, that kind of stuff. Then you're going to want to make a blog so you can have an RSS feed set up a nice, like we were talking about earlier with WordPress.com. They get a bunch of nice themes for you to use. That's actually what we use. You can host your own with WordPress.org. You can go to Blogger. I don't recommend it, but you can if you want to. It's a lot. It's easier, I guess, for you if you want to go that way. You don't know a lot about computers, but WordPress.com still is pretty simple. They have a lot of videos, tutorials on there for you to go through if you want to look at it. Then you want to throw it in FeedBurner if you haven't heard of it. It makes a nice XML file of your RSS feed. And if you go into the iTunes Music Store, you can submit your podcast. I think if you go into podcasts in the Music Store, there should be a submit podcast link in there somewhere. Go into there, you're going to throw your XML file from FeedBurner in there. And I think ours took about 2 days to get on iTunes. Then in FeedBurner, you can put all your information, all your pictures, album artwork, that kind of stuff. And iTunes pulls right from FeedBurner. So, I mean, that's just a general overview of how to get your podcast started. What do you guys think?
I think that's a great advice.
If you guys... I was just trying to stall for time so I could figure out this web address. Go to...
What's this podcast called again?
I don't know. What's the web address?
I think it's www.thatdjpodcast.com.
Oh, that DJ podcast. Yes. Yeah. That's what it's called.
This is word of mouth, ladies and gentlemen.
Brought to you live. Anyways, go to this website. I found it very helpful. It goes... takes through step by step. He stops like after FeedBurner. I don't know. He must have quit, gave up because he realized it wasn't doing anything for him. But it gets you up to the FeedBurner part, which is extremely helpful. Go to www.how/2/podcast/tutorial.com. And
we mean slash like dash or
dash, dash, dash,
dash.
Sorry, guys. Anyway, yeah, go there. You can. It has a nice podcast tutorial, takes you through step by step how to get your podcast up and eventually on iTunes for everybody to listen to. Mainly, we've gotten a nice boost of subscribers this week, mainly from iTunes. So if you're going to have a podcast, make sure you stick it in iTunes. You can also put it in Zune, upload it to a bunch of different directories we've done for people to search on Google. I know we're coming up in Google now once you type in our name and a bunch of different podcast alley, I think. Is one of the biggies, but go around, look at the web, find different directories you can upload to, and get people to check out your stuff. So yeah, that's just a basic overview. Go look at that website. It's a great resource I found for figuring out how to do all this stuff. It's definitely time intensive initially, but once you get it set up and going, I think from here on out we should be pretty fine. It should take maybe 2 hours max to get this out for you guys to listen to. So.
And as far as after, like, you know, besides the technical part, for doing a podcast, if you're going to do it to talk to people, have some kind of outline. Like, we have an outline. We don't always follow it exactly, but we at least know there's some certain things we definitely want to talk about. And then if it's just for music, then well, I guess just have fun. I mean, make sure it's your best effort, and you don't want to put something out there that people think is crap. So
Exactly. Content is king, guys.
Yeah.
Be sure to remember that. And we also got a question. I can't find it. I don't know where I put it. But basically, I remember what it talked about. It's sites like EventActive and what is this? Decidio. Whatever. Mainly, they are DJ directories.
They're like headhunting websites.
Yeah. You get leads off them. He was asking basically, what are they worth looking into? So what do you guys think? I know, Ben, we use them, so you
can talk about it. I'm not even going to comment.
Comment, Ben.
Okay. I know EventActive, like, so most of the time you're looking for people, it's EventActive, like Event Detective, EventActive.com. A lot of times, you basically buy the leads. So people go in, they'll put up for free that they're looking for maybe a place to have a party or looking for just a DJ or a caterer or whatever, and then you got to buy the lead. So it like gives you certain information. It gives you everything you need to know except for their phone number or email address. So we've put some money into it and got some good leads, but that have never actually come through. So I guess I said good leads, and that's not true. We've got some leads, but nothing has ever really actually resulted. We've had some phone calls, some emails, some initial contacts, but everybody who signs up on there seems to want to... I don't know if it's because they get bombarded with people buying their lead, and they get they choose someone and we just lose contact and they decide not to tell us no, or if they just they were just like, oh, hey, let's have a party. Oh, well, why don't I just look up some DJs? Oh, you mean DJs cost more than $6? Oh, well, then let's not get one. Let's put up our iPod. So I don't know if that's the case or what, but I mean, if you've got some money to spend, I think you can get 2 leads for $5 and then they start discounting after then. If you got some money you want to spend on trying to get gigs, then that might be worth it to you. If you don't, then don't do it. Just stick to the old natural way of like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, honestly, for me, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, I could be wrong, but it's cheap enough. I mean, every time we've done it and we haven't got a response back, which is 98% of the time, they've been able to refund our money. And even that, it's only, we've put $5, $10 into it.
I put $5 into it initially.
Yeah. I just put a little more into it, but it's not that much, but I mean, it's the hassle.
It's like you're throwing away money if it doesn't work out. Yeah. But you never know until you try. You might get a party that's going to, or, you know, whatever kind of thing that's going to pay you good money and you get some good leads, but you don't know that until after you buy it, so.
And I guess it all depends on the area that you're in. I mean, we're probably not in the biggest DJ-centric client pool here, but maybe if you're in a bigger metropolitan area, you can get some more leads. Unfortunately, then, you're going to deal with competitors. We don't really have too many competitors when we go up and buy this stuff, but... I don't know. Maybe it'll work out for you guys. You can actually try it. It's cheap enough.
So my answer for that question, are sites like EventActive and Decidio worth the effort? I would say yes and no.
Just try it.
Yeah, just try it once. What do you got? $5? Spend $5. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, you spent $5. You spent more than that on your cup of coffee this morning.
Exactly. And they refund your thing. Well, how many times were we refunded, do you think?
I think it said we had actually purchased $5 worth of leads. Or no, wait. We had deposited $5 and purchased like $35 worth of leads. So they refunded it a few times. They do it only like if they've already booked it, they'll refund your money and you can do it again. But it always has to stay on that site. You don't ever get it back. It just goes back into your pocket of money. So like we've had a lot of people who didn't contact us. I think it's after 12 days they let you ask for a refund. So that's nice. That's a nice feature. But
yeah, at least they seem to be good on getting people refunded at least.
But they already have your money, so it's not like they're really refunding you. Yeah, they're just not ripping you off.
At least you're not losing any more money after that initial investment. What do you think, Ross?
I can't say I'd ever use a site like that. I kind of believe in the traditional business ethics. And
are you saying we're unethical?
Huh?
Are you saying we're unethical?
I'm business ethics.
You're kicked off this podcast.
This kid doesn't even have a website.
You don't even have a website.
Well, yes, I'm just kidding. That doesn't work.
Okay,
well,
please continue your thought since we interrupted you.
But I mean, I've always gone by the word of mouth, and it's always worked for me. And just the more gigs I get, the more people like it. It kind of just spreads like wildfire with getting gigs and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like if you use sites like that, I mean, there might be, you know, a couple of them that are going to be really good, but then a lot of them are just kind of like looking maybe for a cheap deal or something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And I don't think it's a huge advantage for someone that's DJing, because I really don't think they're going to get referrals out of it. Because I mean, if someone really wants you and they'll book you, they're going to they're most likely going to really like you as well, and they'll refer you.
But I guess in your case,
I think it goes most in like treating the customers good and treating your clients good and providing a good service. And if you provide those things, you'll just thrive.
I guess I'd say it's more important for maybe people just starting out who can't generate that word of mouth initially. Maybe go on and try sites like this. I mean, it's real hit or miss, but
yeah, that's true.
You're not putting a huge investment into it. Yeah. I say no, but go ahead and try it if you want to.
If you've been DJing for less than a year and you have less than 5 clients, absolutely try it.
Yeah.
Other than that, use your own judgment. All right. The question of the week.
Question of the week. Hey, guys. This is a new thing I think I want to start, if you guys can help me out. Every week I'll post a new question into our shout box on our website. What's our website, Ben?
I think our website might be www. That's 3 W's. Actually, don't even have to type them in, though. So just thatdjpodcast.com.
Does the internet still use that HTTP?
Well, it does, but you don't have to type it in.
Oh.
So it's even more easy now than ever to type in our website. You could just type in the word that, the letters D and J, and the word podcast. So thatdjpodcast.com.
But yeah, you still need the .com.
You still need the .com.
Not biz, not TV, not org.
I remember back in the day when .com was the only thing there was.
Oh boy.
I remember back in the day when I didn't even know what the internet was.
Well, those were scary days. Anyways.
I was an infant.
If we didn't have the internet, yeah. Yeah. Do you remember much from your
infant days? I remember everything about it.
Great.
Even remember not remembering things.
Anyways, go to that website that Ben just pointed out for you several different times. I'm going to post a question every week in our chat box, like I said. This week's question is, what has been your worst experience at a show? Have you had any terrible clients that you just hate? Any maybe aggressive guests if you went out to a bar? I've heard a lot of stories about people, even not playing people's requests, they come up and get a little confrontational. If you've had any equipment stolen, just what has sucked for you guys? It would be interesting for us to know any stories or experiences you have.
The first experience is going to come from Ross. Ross, would you like to tell us your worst experience at a gig?
Probably one of the worst is I was doing a school dance and I didn't check before the gig to make sure I wasn't going to draw too much power, and I did, and I blew a breaker. So all my equipment shut off, and people were like,
in the middle.
Yeah,
we've had that problem too, actually. Mainly with lights. We've never had an audio, luckily.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Everything goes black. When I first got my subwoofers, they drew way too much power.
Those things are
beasts. They went into power safe mode. So,
cool. All right, yeah, but seriously, send us your messages. You can either put it on our website at thatdjpodcast.com, or if you want, you can send it to thatdjpodcast@gmail.com. That way we will have your email address, and we can spam you with... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Because we don't have anything to spam you about. Everything you want to know is right here. Listen. Listen in every 2 weeks.
And I'll just say, in the shout box, it's like at the top, I think... I have the questionnaire. Just hit reply or quote, whatever you guys want to do. And you can reply directly from there for my questions. So. And all maybe right. We'll read some. Oh, we'll definitely read some.
We'll absolutely read some.
Yeah.
I think we'll laugh at your pity, too, your plight.
Won't it be so much fun, guys?
It'll be so much fun to hear about
how... other people's pain.
Yes. All right.
I love other people's pain.
Here in the background, you're going to hear some music from a DJ, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him. But right now, really, that is it for this episode.
This has been a great episode.
I think this is a accomplishment.
We've had some many hitch-ups on the last episode. I listened to it several times. Luckily, everybody has been extremely nice. We've gotten so many great comments from people, some nice reviews on iTunes. But, yeah, we're really appreciative of you guys. This is awesome. So, I can't believe how well this has gone over for our first podcast, but hopefully we fixed many of the problems we had in the beginning. And
if you have comments, be sure to let us know.
Be sure.
So anyway, be sure to check us out at our website, which I've mentioned about 1,000 times, but I'm going to do it one more time, thatdjpodcast.com. If you'd like, you can swing on over to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook. I'm sure you guys have it, and type in That DJ Podcast. Sorry, we don't have it set up, so it's facebook.com/thatdjpodcast yet, but
we need fans.
We need a couple more fans before we can get
that. Or you can go on our website. The link's right there.
Yeah, the website's there too. So you can get, that's going to be where you're going to find the latest updates, talk with other fans, discuss this and other shows, stuff like that. So be sure to look us up.
And if you would like to subscribe to That DJ Podcast, you can do so by visiting our website or going to the iTunes Music Store. While there, be sure to leave us an illustrious review. I think the reviews start at 5 stars.
The reviews start at 5 stars and go up from there. So yeah, you have to hit at least 5.
Yes.
And then leave a comment. Even if you leave us a, I'm being serious about this. Even if you leave us a number, a 1 for 1 star, you think we're horrible, leave a review and tell why. Say you guys sound like idiots, or I can't stand the way that Ben breathes into the microphone occasionally. I would be okay with that. Just leave a review. Ross, do you have something else to say here?
And as always, you can email your questions to thatdjpodcast@gmail.com, which we really want to hear from you and hear your comments. And you can also head over to our website, which is thatdjpodcast.com. And you can talk to us and other listeners on our shout box.
Shout it up.
Thank you very much. That was very nicely said. Well, we would like to thank all of our special guests, such as Michael Jackson.
Can I stay with you tonight?
No, Michael, you can't. but that's how that goes.
How do you like the smell? Is it good?
We're going to move on. Today, our featured DJ sent in a mix is, his name is Alex Bustamove.
Yay.
His real name is, at least I think it's his real name, is Alejandro Bustamante. He is from Los Angeles. He is 18 years old. He hasn't been DJing very long, but he sounds like he's pretty decent to me. He's from San Diego, moved to Los Angeles. And if you are looking for a good DJ, you want to check this guy out.
Please go check him out.
You can find him on SoundCloud.com. You can find him on SoundCloud. Yeah, that makes
perfect
sense. You can find him anywhere. We'll post a link to that on our site as well.
Yes.
This song is called, believe it or not, March Mix. He does a mix every month, about 20 songs in them. So farewell until we meet again. Seriously, please email us.
I love you guys.
I love you too.
This has been great. It's been great meeting with all you guys again.
I feel like we're neighbors.
We are. Anyways, yeah, guys. Great episode.
See you, Ross.
Listeners.
Yep.
Yeah, bye,
we'll
Ross.
We'll see you in about 2 weeks.
See you in about 5 minutes, Ross.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The fourth wall has been broken.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Listen close.
See ya. I think the iPad conversation got a little out of hand. I think I went too far.
That's fine. It's fine. Okay, let's.
I like this show better than the last one.
Yeah, it's more fun.
All right. Is that it? Okay.